Yeah, just tell me when you're ready. All right. Greetings from Fellowship Baptist Church here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to everybody down at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We are so thrilled to be with you for your annual Thanksgiving. And greetings to Pastor Faisal and Miss Judy and all the workers there and all who labor. And it is always such a thrill to be a part of your annual Thanksgiving service. And maybe next year we can be there in person, be there in the flesh. And what a great thing that would be if me and Miss Lisa could break away and travel down there and be with you all. But we're going to not be long today, but I got a message out of the book of Nehemiah that will hopefully go with your theme that you have for the coming year. And it's been a difficult year, to say the least, difficult almost 2 years with all the COVID-19 and all the disruptions, the pandemic, the shutdowns, and not being able to be together as a church family. And you know, hopefully soon all this stuff is going to be over with. And as you come together and make plans for a new year, hopefully the Lord will open the windows of heaven and really bless you. So I'm going to preach this morning out of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2, or this afternoon for you. And so Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of a heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for all the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days, and I arose in the night and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered to the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see that we are in distress, that we are in Jerusalem, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and as also upon the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And what I'm going to preach on is this little thought, is let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. And there's never been a more important time than the days in which we're living now to rise up and build. The pandemic literally has knocked the church back 20 years as far as numerically and spiritually and evangelistically. In America, our churches are empty and people are staying at home. They're afraid to come to church. And I know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we got to go beyond the pandemic and get back to doing the King's business. Get back to doing the work of God. So let's pray, and then I'll bring the message. Father, bless the word this morning as we're bringing it. And may the Holy Spirit of God speak to all of our hearts, that we all might see that there's a work to be done in these last days. And Lord, after the disaster, there's always a time to rise up and build. And God, may as a people of God have a desire in their hearts to rise up and build. Give us help, peace, and grace. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I preached this afternoon, you know, Nehemiah encouraged the people to rise up and build. And he did. He wanted them to rise up and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when he came back to Jerusalem, that was the political return. And to have the spiritual return, which was Nehemiah's, you needed the political return to set everything in order, to set the worship in order, to set the city in order. Jerusalem was the city of the great king. It was the place of God's temple. And Nehemiah knew that if everything was going to be right, the people had to rise up and build. And after 70 years of captivity, listen, it was in ruin. He said, we need to rise above the ruin. We need to rise above the rubble. We need to rise above what's happening and rise above the critics. You know, there's always critics that say, you can't do anything. We're living in the last days. There's no, why are you getting so exercised? Why are you up so set? Why do you want to be so busy? Hey, because we were told to occupy until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. And we got to rise up. We can't be slack all our life. Hey, nothing is going to get done if we don't rise up and build and rise up and work. And Nehemiah is encouraging the people to rise above the critics. Rise above those who complain. Rise above those who don't have a vision. He said, rise above the obstacles. And my goodness, is there obstacles? There's obstacles. Look at verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is this thing that you will do? Will you rebel against the king? Then I answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. He said, listen, we're going to rise up and do something. We are going to rise up and build. But again, are there going to be critics? Hey, you want to do something for Jesus? You want to move forward? There's going to be people that, hey, they don't want to be a part of it. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he should even break down their stone wall. Hey, let me tell you, there's always going to be people that are going to laugh and make fun, but you know what? Nehemiah did build the wall. He did restore the city. They did rise up out of the ashes, and God blessed them. Can I tell you, there's no better time than now than to do just that. As the pandemic winds down, as things open back up, we need to be ready to rise and build some things in our life. And you know, the first thing you have to do that is you got to recognize that there's a problem. You have to recognize that there's a problem. Nehemiah in chapter number 1, he recognized that there was a problem. Look at verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, the gates were burned with fire, and that the people were in great reproach, he wept before the God of heaven. And he prayed and he fasted. Hey, he's recognizing there's a problem. He said, I beseech thee, Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though you were cast out on the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. You say, what are they doing? Hey, they're confessing their sin. They're repenting of their perversion. Hey, you got to do these things. You got to recognize, hey, where you're at. You got to recognize where you want to go. You got to recognize, hey, that without God, you can't do anything. And we got to get back to recognizing that the problem has got to be us. The problem is me. You know where revival begins? It says, it's me, oh me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It begins with us praying, God, what do you want me to do? And moving forward. So recognizing the problem, repenting of perversion, getting the sin out of our lives, removing the pitfalls from us. Hey, and there are a lot of pitfalls, no doubt, in this life. There are many pitfalls. In chapter 4, verse 10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decay, and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. You know, you got to get rid of the rubbish. You got to get rid of the old junk. You got to get rid of the stuff that's hindering you from going forward. You know, it's like these hoarders that they have today. They fill their house up with everything, and next thing you know, they don't have a place to sit. They can't use their stove. They can't sleep in their bed. They can't sit in their chair. There's one little pathway going through the house, and you know, and I'm amazed at this kind of stuff. Hey, you know, we can't serve God if we got our life is filled with junk, filled with trash, filled with rubbish. What do you got to do? You got to remove it out of your life. You got to get it out of the way. How do you do that? Hebrews chapter number 12. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrews, wrote to the believers that were in Christ, the Christian Jews. Let's look on over there. Here's what he said in chapter number 12. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, you got to get rid of the rubbish. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of those things that are hindering you and holding you back. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, it's removing some things out of your life, recognizing the problem, repenting of the perversion, removing the pitfalls, removing the hindrances out of your life, and restoring the promise. You know, Israel had a promise. And Nehemiah is claiming that promise. He said, Lord, he said, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from them sin. Let me tell you, 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, then will I heal their land. Hey, and restoring the promise, and that is repairing the worship. For them, it's repairing the walls. For us, it's repairing the worship. What's lacking in the day in which we live? The worship. God's people getting together and worshiping. And God never intended us to stay home all our lives. He intended for us to get to the house of God together and worship Him. Amen. And that's what you're doing in your Thanksgiving today. I know it's split up. It's going to be an odd Thanksgiving. Half for part of it, and then the other half will come later. But you know what? Hey, getting together and restoring the worship. Worship is what we need in this country. Worshiping God. It's what you need. It's what we need. Now, when it comes to these kind of things, rising up and building requires a few little things. I'm going to mention three little things, and I know that my time is going this afternoon, but listen, if we're going to rise up and build, you know, we're going to have to have, there's going to have to be some faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. There has got to be some faith in restoring the faith in God. Hey, restoring the faith in God. What did Nehemiah say in verse 20 of chapter 2? Then I answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. He will prosper us. Hey, who's going to help us build the work? Who's going to help us go forward? Who's going to help us do things in 2021 and 2022 and 2023? Can I tell you, it is God has got to be the one to do it. And see, it all begins with faith. If we're going to rise up and build, if we're going to go forward, hey, there's going to have to be some faith. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 8, and says, and God is able. And God is able. Hey, you know, there's not anything that God can't do. and God is able. You know, faith, we say it so many times. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. But there has got to be some faith along the way. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And he wrote that from a jail cell. And let me tell you, he believed that God was going to do some things. And God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than all these lockdowns. God is bigger than all the trials. And He is bigger than all the problems of life. Thank God that He is. In Ephesians chapter number 3, and I believe this with everything that's inside of me, I believe that we can go forward. We can rise up and build. We can be better than we've ever been. Ephesians 3 and in verse number 20, and it says, Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Don't tell me that God can't save souls. Don't tell me that God can't change lives. Don't tell me that God can't solve every problem. God can do anything. And we've seen Him doing it. Right here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we've seen Him doing it. Saving souls and changing lives, even in the midst of the pandemic, even in the midst of all the problems. God is able. You see, faith has got to be exercised. It has to be put into practice. I think the Bible makes that clear. That's why He said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is reward of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we're going to go forward, hey, faith has got to be exercised. We know that faith that's not tested cannot be trusted. Hey, and there's going to be trials and there's going to be problems. But you know what? That's where our faith comes in. We rely upon the Lord. We don't rely upon our sight or our circumstances or our situation of life. No, we're relying upon the things we can't see, and that's God Almighty. The Holy Ghost working and moving and exercising our faith in Him. It's got to be exercised. It's got to be experienced. Now, faith does produce experiences. And can I tell you, the last 40 years of serving God, I have had some experiences. And you know what? So have you. At Sovereign Grace, you've had so many experiences. You've seen God do so many things over the years. And in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, you go through things. You experience things. I've had COVID-19. Well, gosh, I can't say that's been a good experience, but it's been an experience. We've had a lot of people in church that have had COVID-19. Family members, friends. We've had preacher friends that have died from COVID-19. Hey, and you go through some real trials of life. No doubt, you have friends and family that have passed and gone on, and they're with the Lord. And it's been an experience. Hey, it's not. No one said it was going to be easy. No one said there was never going to be problems. You know, we always say life is hard, but it's sweet like sugar cane. Let me tell you, you experience things and you build on those experiences to grow your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith has got to be exercised. It's got to be experienced. It's got to be expounded. And that is to share our faith with others. Why do you think the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is in the Bible? It's a hall of fame of faith. And it's one testimony after another. Speaking of people's faith in God. It begins talking about Abel and that how his blood cried out to God, at the righteous blood of Abel. And then it goes on and talks about Enoch and then Noah, and then goes on down there and talks about Abraham, and right on down the list of all the patriarchs and those who love God. And you say, what is that? Because their testimony is an everlasting witness of the faith of God in their lives. You say, what do we need to be doing? Sharing our faith. Telling people what God has done for us. Everyone that God helped in the New Testament, healed or did something for, changed their life. What do He tell them? Go home and tell thy friends what great things God hath done for thee. How do you rise up and build? By telling people about Jesus, bringing people to church. There was a bank manager, an important mister at the bank, and he run in the place. And we was needing to get a loan and getting some money or anything. And what happened was he looked at the church finances and said, "You know, I don't see how you can afford to do anything here." And he says, "Well, how do you run things at church?" And I said, "Well, we run on faith." He said, you run on faith? He said, "Yeah, we do everything by faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And we operate on faith by believing and obeying God, and He supplies our every need. Have some faith in God, Jim." He was a Christian man. And I said, "Hey, have we ever not paid our bills since I've been pastor here, since I've been over the church?" He said, "Well, church pays their bills. You do everything you're supposed to." Well, I said, "Jim, you're a Christian man. Have some faith in God." He said, "It's hard to explain that to the board of directors." But you know what? They did give us the loan. And we did go forward. Hey, you got to have some faith. You got to be able to believe in God. Faith has got to be exercised. It's got to be experienced. It's got to be expounded upon. Hey, if you're going to rise up and build, it requires a few things. It's going to require some faith. It's going to require some fellowship. You know, there's strength in numbers. The Lone Ranger, he wasn't real. Spider-Man and Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, they're not real. Can I tell you? There's strength in numbers. And notice in verse number 17 of our text what Nehemiah said. He says, notice what it says, the little phrase there. He says, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Verse number 18, he says again, he says, let us rise up and build. Hey, it's not just Brother Fies doing the work. Hey, it's everyone doing the work. It's everyone pulling on the rope. Have you ever seen a tug of war? Hey, it takes everyone to win the battle. It takes everyone to win the contest. And you know, and everyone needs to be involved. In chapter 3, the whole nation's involved in rebuilding the wall. And chapter number 4, look what it says there. And verse number 7, chapter 4 and verse 7, Sanballat, he's doing his business. He's trying to hinder the work there. He doesn't want to see it go forward. And they conspired against Nehemiah. They conspired and they said, "We're going to come upon them when they're weak and when they're weary." And you know what? And God revealed that to Nehemiah. And it says in verse 11, "Our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they shall be upon you." You know what Nehemiah did? He got them all together and he said, "Hey, we're in this thing together. We got to work together. Hey, cooperation is an important thing. And collaboration is an important thing." Notice what he says there in verse 21 and 22. "So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising in the morning till the stars appear. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem in the night, that they may be guard us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing." So what they do? They came together. Hey, when you come together, God's going to do something. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." When you got two or three together, hey, God will be in the midst. How much more when you have the whole assembly? You know why the early church was so powerful? Because they came together in one accord. And they got things done. Up here in America, we have what we call Bring a Friend Day. And we haven't had a Bring a Friend Day for a while, but we're going to have one soon. And this pandemic's winding down, and we're going to have another Bring a Friend Day. And the ideal is about building the fellowship. You know what your Thanksgiving is all about? It's about bringing people together and building the fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not forsake assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching." Hey, Christ is coming, and we're going to need each other more than now than we've ever needed. We've ever needed each other. The devil wants to divide and conquer. What are we supposed to do? Hey, we're supposed to be together. The Bible says, Jesus said very clearly, a house divided cannot stand. We need each other's fellowship. We need each other's friendship. Man said this. He was kind of a smart aleck. He said, "Well, I don't need anybody. I'm like that tree out there standing all alone." And the guy looked at it and he said, yeah, that's exactly what you're like. See how that tree is all bent and twisted and going all different directions? You see, it's good for nothing. You can't do anything with that. He said, but look over here in the forest where all the tall trees are. You know what those trees do? They protect one another. And they're profitable to do something with. You can build things out of those trees. You can make things. You can do all kinds of things because they stand tall and straight and they protect each other from the adversity of the weather and the winds and all the elements. There's a great lesson there. Hey, to stand tall and straight, we got to stand together. If we're going to be useful, stand together. And standing together is a part important thing. Build the fellowship. Build the friendships. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. Hey, God intended for us to get together and build the body of Christ. Amen. Lift one another up. Hey, if you're all alone, it's hard to lift one another up. And you say, what do? We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We bear one another's burdens. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hey, we're all pulling together. There's no telling what God can do. You put the whole church, all of Sovereign Grace, pulling together, trying to make a difference, trying to win souls, trying to be a witness in the community. There's no telling what Sovereign Grace will do in the coming year. See, you got to rise up and build. Rise up and build. And there's going to have to be some faith. There's going to have to be some fellowship. And you know what? There's going to have to be a plan for the future. You know the reason Nehemiah worked so hard to build the city? It's because it was the foundation of the nation. It was the foundation of the future of the nation. And see, what are we building for? We're building for the future. We're not building just for today. We're building for tomorrow. We're building for what God is going to do in the future. We're building to see God, hey, what He's going to do in years to come if He tarries His coming. It's in our best interest to build the church. It's in our best interest to build Sunday school. It's in our best interest to build outreach. It's in our best interest to build up one another. Jude said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know, that's what Bible Institute's about. That's what Bible study's about. That's what Bible study fellowship is about. That's what building the Sunday school is about. It's what, you know, it's what's having building leaders in the church, deacons and elders and assistant pastor. You say, what is that about? It's all about the future of what God's going to do. It's broadening our outreach. It's about, you know, buying better things so that we can minister better in the future. Remember a long time when all there was in the church was that tambourine and the guitar? And Brother Fives played the guitar and someone banged the tambourine. You say, that was a whole nother lifetime ago. You're right, it was. But can you imagine if no one had ever had any vision to do anything better? Look where the church is today. Remember that old van that broke down all the time, barely run? You know, how much better things are today? Remember when the church, what it looked like 20 years ago? I remember what it looked like in 1996, and nothing like what it looks like today. You say, why? Because you rose up and built. You rose up and built it together, and you accomplished something in the ministry. You accomplished something, and law remained. You accomplished something for all that are without to see that God was doing something in Church Street. And what He was doing was building a church for the future. Building young men and young women that would be leaders one day. That would know how to pray, know how to preach, know how to win people to Christ. You know, to succeed, you got to pray, you got to plan, and you got to participate. We have planning meetings. You say, why do you do have those? Because we want people to participate. The plan, if you don't plan to do anything, you're not going to do anything. Lee Robertson always said, a great preacher here in Chattanooga, to fail to plan is to plan to fail. I don't know about you. I don't want to fail. I want to rise up and build. I want to see God do some things. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He prayed. He prayed, Lord, give me favor in the eyes of the king. And God gave him favor. The king said, what's your plan, Nehemiah? He said, I want to go to Jerusalem, rebuild the walls. He said, okay. And then he got everybody together and they had participation. All the nation gathered together to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And they did rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And it all stemmed from him saying, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. It's a new year. It's a new year, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. What does Brother Faisal want? He wants you to rise up and build. And you know, Brother Faisal can't build it all by himself. Now, we know he can build some things because he built plenty of things. I mean, on my soul, all that handling concrete and tying steel and digging foundation. Oh, yeah. He's done a lot of work over the years. But can I tell you, he can't do it by himself. I can't build Fellowship Baptist Church by myself. You say, what's it take? Participation. I'm getting older, you know, and I've lost a few steps along the way. And you say, what do you need? Someone to come along and hold me up. And if the church is going to rise up and build, it's going to take some participation. Rise up and build. Do something for Jesus Christ. I sure do love everybody at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You're in my memories. I have the fondest memories of the years we were there and came for the Thanksgiving and came for the VBS and preached in the services. And some of the fondest memories I have are being with you people. And we love you. And I'm looking forward to being with you again. But I hope when I do get to come back that I'm seeing a church that's rose up and built. Rise up and build. Make it better than it's ever been. And when Jesus Christ comes, what's He going to tell you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's been a blessing. I pray that your thanksgiving is the best that it's ever been. We love you all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. And I do pray that you'd bless it. And I pray that, Lord, that there would be people. Lord, that there be men, women, boys, and girls that would come along, Brother Faisal, Miss Judy, that would say, God, we want to rise up and build. We want to be a part of what you're doing. That there be people who say, here am I, send me. Here am I, God, I'll do it. Lord, I'll help Brother Fies rise up and build. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need that more than anything in this world. Father, speak to hearts. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Doug, thank you so much.